Red Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the T-Mobile New Horizons International Film Festival, and I'm joined by Maciej Jakubczyk.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Hello, Matt.
Thanks very much. Now, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you do here at New Horizons?
Well, I'm head of New Horizons educational department, and actually, let's call it rather the young audience department. We're doing, surprisingly for New Horizons viewers, for the festival viewers, that we are doing also New Horizons all the children's stuff. So what I have pleasure to do here is two workshops, actually in the same time. We are in the middle of the workshop center now. There are two workshops, one for teachers. We invited teachers from all over Poland to learn them, to teach them how to shoot films, short films, animated films, documentaries, and how to use this shooting knowledge to use it in schools, back in schools, to work with their teenagers and pupils. But the second workshop is for professionals, it's for scriptwriters and producers. We develop here, and we strongly believe that we can develop in Poland the children films, actually. This is the genre of film that does not exist in the Polish production. So we developed here scripts for feature films for children and a good quality films for children that we believe we will be shooting in Poland in the next, I don't know, 2-3 years.
Let's talk in a little bit more detail of these two projects right now, because, you know, we're at the festival and this is where it's kind of taking place right now. One of them is the Summer Academy. Yeah. And what fascinates me about this project is that you're teaching the teachers, and the teachers will then teach the students. So it's pretty much a natural thing when you think about it. But a lot of the times when people talk about film education, they forget that sometimes teachers wouldn't be able to teach the kids how to make films and how to read the language of cinema.
You know, because we ask ourselves the question, what is the most efficient way to work with film, and what is the most efficient way to work in a school, not necessarily with film, but with different topics. And the thing is now, I don't know how it's in different countries in Europe, but in Poland it's now that basically the teachers are losing the sort of attendance of the pupils, because basically they have these tools that they know, and the school is like based on basically books, and most of these books are really extremely boring. So basically the situation in a normal classroom is that there is a teacher who wants to talk about book and a group of 30 children who haven't read that book. So they read some abbreviations or something like that. And there is no place for dialogue in such a situation. And film is the something that after 90 minutes of screening or some shooting, the teacher has like 30 engaged people, emotionally moved. They all have seen the same. They all have seen the film. So this is the place where the process can start, the dialogue can start between them. And when we ask ourselves the question, what is the most engaging way of using film in schools, is actually shooting. And it's not only because we want to, or it's even the last thing that we want to. We don't want to make them professionals, both the teachers and the professional filmmakers, both the teachers and children. We want them to experience a really strong thing through shooting films, through shooting documentaries or fiction or animation, and make them engage really, really strongly. And what's fantastic about shooting films with teachers, with children, is that you can use them with really a number of different topics. You can use them teaching history. Let's shoot something from the history. Let's shoot something about the philosophy. Let's shoot something about biology, etc., etc. I have my favorite example when I was a workshop leader for a group of Caucasian refugees, the girls, and I was thinking what might be useful for them to know about Warsaw. It was based in Warsaw, and how I can use this shooting with them as a great tool. And they were in the moment of transition, how they were switching from this Caucasian culture to Polish culture, and they were asking themselves, they were girls, what is actually the manhood now for them, because they left their fathers in Chechnya and they meet a new manhood in Warsaw. So I asked them to go around Poland, to go around Warsaw, and ask with the camera to all the men the question, are you a real man? And these Chechen girls were going around Warsaw and asking this man, you know, odd question, really pretty straightforward, are you a real man? And then they bring back the materials to our studio, and we talked about the materials, talked about the answers. And it was so extremely powerful, you know, these simple shooting films. They were just talking heads, they were shooting only men talking and answering this question, but the material brings us so many opportunities to talk, and you know, pretexts to talk, to explore how they understand the position here as women's, and how they understand the position there in Chechnya. And this example could be used in every school, of course, in different topics, not only so hard topics. But the thing is that, of course, that it requires from teachers to have at least some knowledge and also courage to use this tool. And what we do here, we basically teach teachers how to be familiar with the with this process from the very beginning, from the idea of what short movie I want to shoot and why, then how to shoot it and then how to edit it at the end, and then how to somehow exhibit it, you know, to the audience.
Fantastic. You not only gave us a great overview of the project, but you also said a big chunk of why it would be important to develop this idea of including filmmaking in general, making films as a way of teaching kids about culture in general. And but of course,
I also want to add the one thing that it's combining together. It's combining the topics of culture, of society, but also simply, basically, media topics. I get a fantastic... on that project that I've made, a fantastic moment in the process. The girls bring back to the studio a guy who said that he's gay. When he answered the question, he said that actually he don't know if he's a real man because the society considered him as not a real man because he's gay. And the girls were like, first they were amused and they were like giggling, he said he's gay, and they were like, you know, they didn't know what to do that. But then the next step they've made was the step when they take the responsibility for him. They were discussing if he was conscious enough that he's doing this coming out in front of the camera, if they can make this public. They took the responsibility for their character, actually. They start to feel how powerful tool they have if they put it in public. And that was like a fantastic moment for me. And they start to be, you know, somehow self-aware of media and how they can use media and how they can affect different people with some way of using media. Finally, we published that because we talked about it, that if he made a coming out in front of the camera, he definitely made a coming out before. But you know, it was like I was so amazed about the depths of the process that happened this moment.
So it actually makes opens him up to sensibilities as well, and tolerance, and all these beautiful things.
And responsibility, of course, for how they use the tool.
Yeah. Viewpoints can also be different viewpoints can also be promoted through cinema itself, in the language of cinema. And I guess that's also one of the driving forces of a project like Film for Kids Pro, which actually, well, can you tell us a little bit about it in more detail?
Yeah, Film for Kids Pro is actually, I think, the only now in Europe development program for children feature films. Basically, we asked a teams, a screenwriter and a producer together to apply to us with the a few pages of idea of the film, with the treatment. And then we chose the 12 teams to work with them from the treatment with our tutors to the second draft of the screenplay. But what more we do, we not only develop the screenplay, but we also work with the producers in the same time about all these additional things that that might be useful to make these screenplays really shoot it. I mean, we didn't want to do only workshops for the screenplays. We want to treat it as a sort of startup for film production in Poland. So the producers already, today is one of the last days of our sessions, and they were thinking how to make these films real. And in general, the situation is in Poland like that, and it's pretty unique, I think, in Europe, that there are almost no film for children, the good quality films shooting. Like last 5 years, there was two, maybe three films, and at least two of them were unwatchable. I mean, really bad quality. So we really believe that this project could bring good ideas for films, because when we try to think about what's the situation, why it's happening like that, it's of course the problem of the money, but we feel that there is a problem closer to the ground somehow, that there are no good screenplays, no people who really want to try to do a professional film project, I mean treatment and the production package. And we believe that with this 12 project here, they will go around and knock to different doors of producers, potential co-producers, and then in a few years these screenplays become films.
Yeah. Why do you think there is such a lack of focus in making films for children?
In Poland, I think that there are different reasons, but one of the reasons is basically that the filmmakers treat shooting for children as a version B or even Z of their career. So the version A is to shoot, art house movies or really commercial movies. But the problem is that, in fact, in Scandinavia or in Germany or in France, the children genre of movie is really also a business. I mean, yeah. Those really well-done films. We have a great example of a beautiful movie for the kindergarten children in the age of 4 to maybe 6, maybe 7. And this is a live-action movie. And it's a feature film, 75 minutes, I think. And this film, when The Hobbit, made in Norway, 5 million people country, made in Norway around, I think, 500,000 viewers. This small film for children is called Casper and Emma, made more than 300,000. Can you believe that? So this is a good business as well, but we don't see it yet in Poland. We want to, to start the process.
Yeah, not only that, but that encourages audience development then for future audiences that are bound to go to the cinema and create a whole business and, take us out of the recession a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I mean, for us as New Horizons, it's a complex situation. We have a Extreme Art House Festival. We really search for new, cinema language here. But from the other side, we get our really young viewers to other than Disney or than Pixar, aesthetics, way of storytelling, intensiveness, what was the word? I mean, that is not edited like the, like a really action adult movie, but it's a little bit slower, but a little bit more intense in the emotional way. I strongly believe that it's the best when you get used to this way of storytelling from the very beginning.
As I find more and more about New Horizons activities and education, I'm absolutely fascinated. And maybe you could give us an overview on other activities that take place that are promoted by New Horizons or organized by New Horizons that have a lot to do with young audiences and how promoting cinema to young audiences.
Well, I think the most important thing for us that is happening nowadays actually is our distribution and many ways of distribution ideas. So we started with a project that when we program different art house cinemas all over Poland for the school screenings, and that was pretty close screenings. But once we have more than 40 cities, we realized that if we have these 40 cities, 40 cinemas working with us all the year long, we can start to think about bringing films to Poland as a distributor to put them at least to that network. And nowadays we have more than 100 titles in our catalog for children, and we start to develop another project which is called Kids Film Festival. So we somehow dropped schools. I mean, we still continue that project for schools, but we also developed, we are now developing this festival where we do not work with schools, but we work basically with parents. So we make this children good quality stuff more somehow public, because the promotion of the school screenings were, between us and schools and teachers, and now we just go public and ask parents if you want your children to eat slow, to read good books, maybe you can think about them to watch good quality movies as well. And our idea for is, because I mentioned that this is a sort of distribution way of thinking, that we, to our festival, the idea is that we buy the long-term rights for all films that we screen on the festival. So we are not buying free screenings on the festival and then the films go back to the country. We buy long-term rights. That means that we can screen these films in different cities. We have this festival in 70 cities in the same time, and then we can repeat it. So then we can distribute these films afterwards, the festival, and do many different things. So this is the way of distribution for us, in fact.
Right. Thanks very much for talking with us about it. It's a great pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good luck then, and have a nice day on the festival.
Thanks very much. Thanks a lot, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.